is when I'm not up here very often. There's always a learning curve when I come back up here. And I will say, earlier I was talking to someone, I said, every time I come up here, I'm a little nervous. But I have to say that you guys are awesome to speak in front of. You always are. You're always so supportive and encouraging. And I'm very thankful to be a part of this church. As I was saying, my name's Carolee, and I'm the children's pastor here at Westwinds Community Church. And during COVID, we are kind of sent into a spin. We had to adapt on the fly, and I have to say, it's always a challenge, any adaptation, but it seemed like with COVID, everything was a week-to-week situation, that you had to be ready to change on a dime. Because of this, you guys might not know what's actually going on in kids' ministry at Westwinds. And so I want to let you know, first of all, we have some fantastic volunteers who have stepped up to the plate. They have been doing a phenomenal job in a variety of ministries, but as it is with almost every ministry in the church, we could always use more hands. I'm not going to make you feel guilty, but I'm just going to put that in your ear for you to soak in and consider. Just to give you a rundown of some of the ministries that we are currently running and so thankful that we were able to open back up, the first one we're doing and I want to talk about is our drama club. Now, if you haven't already marked this on your calendar, we have our drama production coming up on December 12th. So make sure you mark that down. It is going to be running during Sunday morning, and we have a fantastic, funny, and heartfelt show for you. So be sure you mark that down. Feel free to invite friends, family, neighbors, whoever. Invite them to come because it's going to be lots of fun. And they'll hear the story of Jesus' birth. This drama club is really a passion for myself and also for the rest of the coaches that are involved. The reason being is, first of all, we love drama. And we know how exceptional it is at communicating different truths to people. But more than anything, it gives kids an opportunity to use their gifts and talents to serve other people and to serve God. And this is really the heart of kids' ministry I want to touch on. And that is that the kids are a part of our church now. It's not in the future. Once they become teenagers and once they become adults, they are Christians now. If they believe in Jesus, they are a part of our church now. And they need to be using their gifts and abilities and talents that God has given them to glorify Him and to spread the gospel. And that's part of the reason why we have drama club. Also, it's super fun. It's hilarious. The kids are awesome. We have great kids, preteens, and youth involved in our drama club, so we're very excited about it. Second of all, I want to touch on Camp Westwinds. Every summer, we have a week, and the first summer of COVID, we had to do everything online, which was fine. But I have to say, this past summer, we were able to do Camp Westwinds in person. And that meant we had 5 days, 9:30 to noon, where we could do crafts, we could do Bible lessons, we could interact with the kids with games and all sorts of stuff, and it was fantastic. I was a little nervous because I know that with COVID, things have been kind of in flux for everybody. Some of our volunteers have a tough time coming back. Some of them don't know how much they want to come back, and the same applies to the kids and our families. Not everyone's totally comfortable being back, and I understand that. But man, we wanted to do something for the ones that were. And the cool thing was, man, God always comes through. We had the exact right amount of volunteers for the exact number of kids that we had. And they were the right volunteers for the kids that we had. God is always in control, and He is so faithful and so good. And I also want to tell you about Kids Church. Kids Church happens every Sunday morning. Whether you're joining us online join it at 9:30 a.m. on our website or through our streaming service, or you come at 10:15 and join us in person, Kids Church is available every Sunday morning. And we have volunteers that have stepped up to the plate consistently. This is an area we definitely need more volunteers, but right now, man, it is so awesome to be with the kids, being able to spend time with them And the cool thing is about Kids Church, we write our own curriculum. And the curriculum we write ties into the sermon series that are going on upstairs. And the purpose behind that is so that families are able to discuss together what God is teaching them. This is so important. It is so important that in our homes we are having spiritual conversations. The kids know that faith isn't just a Sunday thing, it is a life thing. It's something that's going on constantly and is a part of our lives as well as theirs. Which brings me to today's message. Today we're looking at a very familiar parable. In fact, I told someone what I was speaking on this morning, and I could see it in their eyes, like, oh, okay. I'm like, seriously, it's gonna be good. We are looking at Luke chapter 8. We're gonna start at verse 4. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. It's interesting, for those of you who have never heard this story, Jesus told parables, which are basically stories to teach a lesson, to help people understand the kingdom of God. And the sower and the seed is about a farmer who goes out and scatters the seed. And Jesus talks about four different types of soil that the seed lands on. The first soil is actually the path. The seed falls on the path, and birds come and eat it up, or it gets stomped on underfoot. And so the seed never takes root. Nothing ever happens with it. The second soil is the rocky soil. And the seed lands there, and right away the plants spring up, and it looks great until the sun comes out and the heat of the day beats down on those plants, and they wither and they die. The third soil is, it looks like pretty decent soil. But as the plants take root and spring up, the weeds come up around them and they choke out those plants. And those plants die as well. And the final soil is the healthy soil, where the seeds fall and they take root and they grow up and they produce a bumper crop. The interesting thing is, after these first four verses, Jesus says the phrase, "Those who have ears to hear should listen and understand." It's funny, when I was preparing for this morning, I actually was looking at Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, we find a very common Hebrew prayer. It's the prayer called the Shema. And Shema is just a word for listen or hear. In fact, it has multiple meanings. And when I was looking at the Greek word for listen and understand, it was in Greek, but it had the same thing. In Greek, it's akouo. If you're a Greek scholar, and I've mispronounced this, I apologize. I am not a Greek scholar. I just looked at the phonetics going, so. But I will tell you that for this word, when it's translated, it has multiple meanings. To help you understand this, I'm going to tell you a story about one of my kids. I'm not going to specify which one because I don't want to totally embarrass them. But I said to my one child, "Hey, have you cleaned your room?" And at first they didn't respond, which is okay. You know, they're focused on something else. And I say, "Hey, have you cleaned your room?" And they're like, "No." And then they go back to what they're doing. And then I say, "Hey, you need to clean your room." "Oh, okay." They go back to what they're doing. "You need to go clean your room now." And then they go clean their room, like this. No, not always. Most of the time they have pretty good attitudes. But I tell this story because this is how this word is translated. There's different ways we can translate both these words, whether it's in Hebrew or in the Greek, or even in English, when we hear the word hear and listen. Jesus' followers didn't totally get the parable right from the get-go. And so if you're like, okay, so this farmer went out and planted the seed, and there's all these soils, blah, 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 and you're like, what's the deal? It's okay, he tells us. Jesus translates it for us, which is awesome. So soil, the path, is like people who hear but never believe. The seed is scattered. And this is important to recognize, that whether people choose to believe in Jesus or not, the seed is still scattered. The message still needs to go out. They still need to hear. And so the seed is scattered, but they hear it, but they don't respond. It's kind of like the first time I asked my child to clean their room. The second soil, we see that the seed is planted. Those who hear and believe are like people who are tempted. When Jesus is talking about the rocky soil, he says, the rocky soil is the temptations of life. People accept the word of God, they're excited about the kingdom of God, but then the temptation comes and it beats down on them and their faith dies. And this happens. You know, we've seen that before. The temptation is too great for some people. They feel like it's too much work to follow Jesus. This is too hard. And so on second thought, I'm not really that interested. But again, the seed was still scattered. The message still went out. If you're feeling like this somehow is something that you relate to, that temptation is something that you struggle with, and you feel like, I've heard the gospel and I've tried it, but this is too hard. You need to know this. 2 Peter 1:3 says that by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his glory and excellence. And the reason that I say this verse is for a couple reasons. First of all, to tell you, you have access to everything you need to live for Jesus. But also for you to understand that it is all him. This isn't about you working harder or proving your mettle. This is all about him. The verse says it is by his divine power, his power. He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And we've received this by coming to know him, not by checking off a list of good deeds or doing a whole bunch of things that we think we should or other people tell us we should. We receive this by coming to know him, and we have access to it because he has given it to us. The third type of soil, the seeds get scattered. And remember, they go down, their roots go down, and they spring up, but then the weeds come up alongside them. These are people who hear and believe, but faith has been choked out by the worries and anxieties of this world. It was interesting when I was preparing this, I thought, this is what people are struggling with so much right now. There is so much worry, so much anxiety in the world today. But don't lose heart. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, and sometimes these verses are quoted off the cuff, and they come off sounding very trite, but I want you to listen so deeply with your heart. Focus on these words and know that they are meant for each one of us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. You see, this verse isn't just something that you slap on a bumper sticker or throw on a mug. This is a powerful verse, and the reason why is it reminds us of a strategy to protecting our hearts, guarding our hearts against worry and anxiety. And that is this: tell God what you need, thank him for what he has done. And this sounds like such a simple thing, but it is huge. we can turn our worries and concerns over to God, and we can leave them with Him. And one of the ways to retrain our minds is to focus on the things that He has already done, all the times He has been faithful in the past. If you have a tough time thinking of things in your own life, that is what community is for, so that we can remind each other of all the good things God has done. That's what His word is for, to remind us of all the promises He's kept over and over and over again. We need to thank Him for all He has done so that we can reframe our mind, so that the worries and anxieties no longer overcome us, but we overcome them with hope and the promises of God. Jesus even said to His followers and to the people who are coming to listen to Him, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I think now more than ever, that is what we need. We crave it so deep down, that rest for our souls. There is an aching and a longing. And when we tell God what we need, and we thank Him for what He's done, that peace that He gives guards our hearts and minds, and we are able to experience that rest. The final soil is the healthy soil. And this is where the plants flourish. Man, the seeds are scattered, the roots go down deep, they suck up all the nutrients, and the plants, they burst through the ground, and it's a bumper crop. It's huge. Those who hear and believe experience temptation and yet overcome it, face worries and anxieties, but turn them over to Jesus, who routinely discipline themselves to magnify Jesus and cling to the hope that can only come from Him. That's who these people are, the people who receive this gospel, this hope, this kingdom life. That's what they experience. I am not a gardener. You can ask my husband. I'm not good with plants, but I always try. I try. We live in a townhouse, and so I don't have any land to farm. I don't have any land to like till the soil and like plant my seeds. I wish I did. I wish I could have a garden because I love growing stuff, even though I'm not super good at it. But the interesting thing is we have a balcony, and I decided I'm going to do what I can with our balcony. So I have a whole bunch of planters on my deck. And this past summer, I put in all new soil, and I turned it in with some fertilizer to make sure it had lots of nutrients and all these different things. And I planted some plants and some seeds, a whole bunch of seeds, and they grew up. I was so excited. I mean, I am still growing Swiss chard. I kid you not. It is growing despite the cold weather. Now, my balcony is raised up, and I planted this awesome, or I put in this good soil, healthy soil, clean soil. It's out of a bag. But you know what? I couldn't just plant the seeds. I had to go out there every couple weeks, and I had to take out the weeds. Yes, the weeds still come. I had to make sure it was still fertilized. I had to make sure it was getting enough water. I had to take care of my plants. I had to tend them. And I think sometimes we look at this passage of Scripture and we think that the seeds get scattered and they fall in the soil and that's it. This is a farmer scattering seeds. Farmers do not just scatter stuff and walk away. They tend the garden. We need to be allowing God to tend our hearts, to tend the soil of our hearts. And this is so key. Just because we come to faith in Jesus doesn't mean we will never experience temptation or that we'll never experience worry or anxiety. That is not what it means. What it means is we have the gardener come and take those things out. We allow Him to root those things out of our hearts so we can grow up strong and healthy and flourishing in our relationship with Him. It's important for us to remember, like, it can get so discouraging sometimes. Why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still facing this temptation? Why am I worrying so much? You need to remember, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. The Bible tells us we are a holy nation, God's very own possession. We belong to Him. And as a result, you can show the goodness of God, for He has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The message says this: you can show others the night and day difference that Jesus has made in your life. Jesus said, and the seed that fell on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. So my challenge to you this morning, the challenge to myself this morning, the challenge to all of us is, are you hearing His voice? Are you paying attention? Are we understanding, taking the time to get to the heart of it? Are we obeying Him? You see, hearing God's voice like a sound and letting it ricochet off our hearts is not listening to His voice. Even stopping and paying attention to His voice isn't enough. Even if we come to understanding, it has to be deeper than that. It has to go to action. It has to be lived out in our day-to-day lives. There has to be more than just hearing it on a Sunday morning. Downstairs, because I had started off thinking I was going to be talking about those few verses regarding passing on our faith to our children from Deuteronomy in the Shema, I had started a series for the kids downstairs on that passage in Deuteronomy. And what I said to the kids for today is, I said, God isn't supposed to be something that is just added to our lives. And sometimes we act that way. I used the example of a juggler downstairs. I said, a lot of times life is kind of like a juggling act. We're managing all sorts of things, our jobs, our families, our friends, just the world around us in general. And we kind of add God into the mix. Well, I'll go to church on Sunday morning, or I'll add in devotions here or there, or do this little thing that I think I should do. God is not supposed to be an addition to our lives. He is supposed to be the foundation of our lives. Otherwise, it's like we're trying to ride a unicycle on a tightrope. That is not what life is supposed to feel like. When God is our anchor, when He is our foundation, then our lives flourish. So I really encourage you, if you're struggling with anything today, if you're struggling with temptation, if you're struggling with worries or fears or doubts, whatever it is, let God tend your heart. Bring those things to Him. It's funny, the verses that come right after the parable of the sower, they're in Luke 8, 16 and 18. And it says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl and hides it under a bed. A light is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away. Our faith is not something we can set and forget. It has to be something that we're bringing to Jesus every day, something that He can tend to every day to grow in us and to really help us to flourish so that we can have a rich life.
He lit this light in you for a purpose, and that is for you to shine. And you may be wondering, why is Carolee talking about this when it's supposed to be kids' ministry emphasis? I'm sure you have heard the doom and gloom of everyone who's leaving the church worldwide, that there is this river going out of churches, and people are wondering why. We want to secure the future faith of children and families. We want to secure the future faith of our young people. We want to secure the future faith of our families and our legacy builders. We want to secure the future faith of everyone who calls Christ their Lord. And the way to do it is to ensure that we are all living for Jesus every single day. And the reason why is because kids need to know that Jesus is real now for their parents, for their leaders, for their classmates. They need to know that, yes, we face struggles, but Jesus brings us through. He gives us hope in those situations. I need to know that Jesus is faithful to you because you and God's faithfulness to you reminds me that God is faithful to me. I tell the kids downstairs, do you know why we worship? First of all, it's to glorify God. It's to praise him for who he is and what he has done. But secondly, it is to remind each other who he is and what he has done. And that's what our lives are supposed to be. Our lives are supposed to be a walking, talking, breathing display of God's power and his compassion. So yes, we need volunteers. We need volunteers. We always need volunteers. And honestly, we'll take all the prayer we can get. I covet your prayers. And if you want to throw some money our way to help kids' ministries go forward, I'm good with that too. But more than anything, I want your lives to be a display of God's goodness and faithfulness, of that flourishing life, so that as the kids grow up in this church, they know this faith is real. They know God is worth hanging on to. They need that. They say it takes a community to raise a child. It takes a community to raise a community. We all need each other. You guys need the kids. You do. You may not recognize it, but you need to be reminded what it's like to have blind faith, to forgive people without hesitation. You need to be reminded of that. You need the youth because you need that desire and a hunger to really dig deep and worship God and serve him and care about your friends and family deeply. We need young families because we need people who understand what it means, the day in, day out struggle of living life, trying to care for children, trying to balance work, trying to balance everything. We need legacy builders because they have this rich history of the faithfulness of God through season after season after season. No one of us is better than anyone else, and every single one of us is needed if we are wanting to flourish as the family of God. We need that. All lives shine the light of Jesus for all lives. Every person is so valuable. We need to be living with lives full of hope, lives anchored in peace, lives lived in wisdom, lives overflowing with love. People who really love God with all their hearts, all their souls, all of their minds, and all of their strength. So I close with this question. How is your hearing? Are you letting God tend your heart? Are you being honest about the worries that have come in? or the temptations that you face. We need to be opening up to each other and to God and allowing Him to root out those things and inviting people in to remind us and to help us flourish and for us to do likewise. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for West Winds. Thank you, God, for all our volunteers. Not just the ones who contribute in kids ministry, God, but we thank you for the ones who are involved on Sunday morning, our life groups, God. I thank you for the people who are involved in our legacy builders, God. I thank you for the lunch program. I thank you, God, for all the unseen acts of service and kindness and love and compassion. God, I thank you. I pray, God, that you would remind us again that you chose us. You chose us for a purpose, and you want our light to shine. Help us to have open ears and open hearts and open minds. Help us to found our life, to anchor our life in you, to set you as our foundation. God, help us to build each other up, to remind each other who you are and how much you love us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. We thank you. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Don't eat too much candy. Actually, today's Monday. You can eat as much candy as you want. Have a great week.